kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Look at today, and we're calling this teaching Purity of Heart. Purity of Heart. I think we are all of the agreement that those who have embraced the Deeper Life teaching, that over the years this teaching has really worked on the heart and continues to do so, because holiness, godliness, is purity of heart. And we know this very clearly from the Beatitudes that Jesus gave to those that followed him. And we'll just look at this briefly in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Matthew 5 and verse 8, which says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now, the understanding of purity of heart, the Greek word for this is katharos, and it's an interesting word because it means to obviously be clean, be pure. It can refer to being clean and pure physically, because we are in the flesh. We also get an understanding of this purity that is worked by fire. Fire purifies. There's much in the Word of God, in the Old Testament and the New, with regard to fire and its symbol and what it purifies. God is seen as fire. We also know that it means to be free from corrupt desires. We are cleansed from being blameless or innocence, which is what purity of heart should be. We should be blameless before God, innocent before him, without guile, not guilty or stained in any way or form. This is the work that God does in the heart. And this can only really ever be achieved when we come faithfully, where we're taught through the Word of God, where he can work upon the heart. We gave teaching, didn't we, a few weeks ago on the promises of God, that they cleanse. Here again, that work of cleansing is working with the heart. As he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And this is, of course, why the Lord searches our hearts, because we don't know our hearts. And when he touches on an area that we are not aware of, or we feel powerless to change, he will then work on this and bring this to the surface. Just like when you purify gold in the furnace, where it's heated up, what rises to the surface? All the impurities. And it's exactly the same with us. He will hone in on an area that he's working with us when we're ready to face it, when he knows that we can overcome, we can get delivered from this. He will then begin, through the trials and the testings, in which to turn the furnace up 7 times hotter, because he's bringing something that is displeasing to him to the surface in order to get healed and delivered. And this is how he does it, because otherwise we just don't know. We're in darkness. And that is what this word means when Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." God has done a work of purifying, and purifying can only be achieved and done when we remain with it, we are faithful, and we endure to the end, because we're allowing God to work cleanness within us. He's going to have us whole in mind, body, and spirit. As we so often say, on one side of the coin, you are saved. On the other side of the coin, you are being saved. You are being brought out from. And this, of course, is why the Lord continues to have us remain in this world in which to do this purifying work that Jesus spoke of here with regard to the Beatitudes. And of course, this is work by the Holy Spirit, who comes now into our life to lead and guide and teach us. And not only to teach us, but to heal us and deliver us. You see, many Christians today who profess Christ, they see the Holy Spirit come as their teacher, but they don't want to accept that the Holy Spirit also comes to heal us, to deliver us, to purge us, to present us faultless before the throne of grace. They don't want to embrace that side of teaching, but we have to allow God to do this. We take the whole counsel of God's word from Genesis to Revelation, and we cannot choose portions of scripture that we like, that appeals to us, and reject the other. This is where so many become open to deception and follow these false prophets and teachers who will give them exactly what they want to hear. But you see, the deeper life that we have received over the years will not do that. It's precisely what it means, a deeper life, being taken deeper with God in your walk, your consecration, your stand before him, you see. And what does it say in Matthew 15 and verse 19? Matthew 15 and verse 19, of where the Lord speaks about what comes out of a man's mouth. For he says, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." And so, of course, the usual thing, religion, the Pharisees are saying, you know, you can't wash, you can't eat unless your hands are washed. But of course, he uses that and says, no, the heart needs to be washed. You see, it's now a work that is inward. It's to do with the motive, the attitude. And that, of course, is why in our fellowship, it is important for our unity and oneness that we have the right heart and attitude towards our brother and sister. And some of our purification, this work of the heart within each of us, is so that we can maintain our fellowship with each other, with Christ as head. He's not going to let us have these wrong, festering attitudes that lie deep towards each other. He's not going to have it. And so the Spirit will search the heart, because he wants us to have that purity of heart. What does it say in Proverbs? In Proverbs 6 and verse 14. Proverbs 6 and verse 14. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. And there we are. You have some people who cause nothing but trouble. They cause confusion through their lies, their deception. They try to divide relationships. And sadly, we've had that at times, even in our church. And what God says that this is perversity, it's in the heart. And the reason it's in the heart, because when God tries to shine his light upon it, they react instead of act by faith. They do not see that this is sin before God and it has to be dealt with, you see. And there is the difference. You see, sin in these areas often works and it veils itself. It's like a fog. It obstructs our vision of seeing Jesus. And this is what it does when we don't deal with these things that the Holy Spirit brings to the surface. We're not to oppress it or push it away. Or we use the excuse, oh, I'm not ready yet to deal with this. Give me another month or give me another year. No, God never makes a mistake. What is being exposed is the right time. It's your time to get delivered, to have a changed mind and thinking and attitude that is holy and acceptable before God. We don't always recognize that our motives are wrong until God opens our eyes to see. And this is the love and grace of God, because he's going to present us faultless before him. This is how the wise virgins make themselves ready with that oil, that extra oil that God has given to them. You see, if you don't deal with these things, you begin to lose sight. You begin to lose sight of the Word of God. You no longer see the Word of God as that important. And you'll find that because the Word isn't so important, then the meetings don't become so important. And you're gathering together unto him. We've seen it in our circles. Why does that happen? Why do they come and go? They're not reliable, regular. Because God has been highlighting areas in their heart and they have suppressed it. They pushed it away. They've ignored it. And then what begins to take over? Pride. And pride will let you believe you are right and everybody else is wrong. This is what it does. We lose insight to the Word. Our prayers become affected. They're hindered. They then start to be unanswered. Then blessing no longer flows anymore. Your mind is under attack and oppression. You lose the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. There's not that desire for God anymore. It's like a slow cancer that begins to take over. What does Isaiah have to say about all of this? We're talking today about purity of heart that is in the Beatitudes. Isaiah 59 and verses 1 to 2. Let's look at this. Isaiah 59 and verses 1 to 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongues have muttered perversity. I mean, that sadly has gone on even in the house of God. And these are warnings. And God has said, my hands are not too short to save. With your sin, your problems you have, I can still reach out. I can touch you. I can heal you and deliver you. But we've got to do it God's way. And I know when God highlights and he searches the heart, one of the first things you want to do, you want to run away. You want to find somewhere that feels secure, where I can feel safe and secure. But that is the lie. That is the devil's lie. As I've always said, defy it. Crucify it. And run to God. Run to him. Do completely the opposite that your mind is telling you to do. That's why he says, come to me, all that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. That one word, come. But we don't do it. And we must. It's very, very important, this. Because God is highlighting something for the very purpose that he's going to present you faultless, that you will be able to stand confidently when he appears, when he comes. Because that is the next great event that is to take place with the Christian church, is the rapture. And we know that nobody wants to be left behind. So we need these clean hands in his presence. And no finer way of that being done and maintained is like when we come regular together and we allow this word to wash, to cleanse, to search, because we do not know ourselves. We don't know our hearts. We don't know what we're capable of doing when cornered or going through a trial. And so we are the mercy of God. What does it say in Hebrews 12 and verse 14? Hebrews 12 and verse 14. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So a lot of our deliverance, our purging with this purity of heart, is for our everyday walk in this life, our enemies that are out there, our family, our relationships, the body of Christ, brothers and sisters. Much of this purifying of heart is for our everyday living and the things that we meet and encounter, because he says, pursue peace with all people and holiness. That should always be our desire as believers, to be peaceful, not argumentative, vindictive, opinionated. That is not the way we're to walk. Many times we have to zip lip. And our quietness, what we don't say, will speak, because God then will take over and do it. We too often get in the way. We're not to sin with our lips. We're not to be found gossiping. These are things that go on too often in the house of God. We're to live peaceably, to believe the best for each other. And where we see these weaknesses, We get on our knees and we pray and intercede that they will remain faithful, that as God cleanses and purges, that they won't run away or look to other means, but that God will work that they will be remain faithful and come through purified as gold. That should always be our heart's desire, praying one for another, or those that are going through difficulty, or where we see some besetting sins. We're never called to gossip and criticize. And yet they can be some of the biggest sins that go on in the house of God. And at times we're not aware that we're doing it. We're talking today about purity of heart. What does he say in Psalm 24? Psalm 24 and verses 3 to 4. Psalm 24, 3 to 4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Wow, just look at those three promises there in those verses. Don't you just sense when you look at that, you read that, you confess that, don't you sense the cleansing of the Lord in those promises there? Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? Because that's what we have to do. We have to stand 24/7 in unbroken fellowship before him. And he says, if that is your heart's desire, that is what you want. He says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol. What is an idol? The things of the world, the arm of the flesh, exalting something or some person above God, nor sworn deceitfully. In other words, sinning with the tongue. He shall receive blessings from the Lord. Don't you want to be blessed? Of course you do. Who doesn't want to be blessed? And that is the nature and heart of our Father. He wants to bless. That is his nature. And he says he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of our salvation. In other words, that righteousness means that he gives us a right standing in his presence through Jesus Christ. And so it goes on. Great promises there to believe, to embrace. But he's going to work within us in which we experience that and no finer way than through the cleansing of the Word of God. That's why the Word of God is in two ways. It's the sword of the Spirit, and with the sword of the Spirit comes the fire of God, and it does its work. Trust me. What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 1? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 15, 16. 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16. But as he called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And of course, we know that word holy also means to be separate, to be set apart. But to be set apart from those weaknesses, to be set apart where he's cleansing, delivering, to set you free. That's what it means. When you are set free, you are delivered. It means that holiness, you're separated. It no longer holds you or oppresses you anymore. That's what it also means, which he's doing. And that's, of course, what the Deeper Life teaching has been all about over the years, is in which to set us free, to deliver us whole in mind, body, and spirit. David's prayer, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me and cast me not away from your presence. One of the greatest prayers. We spoke earlier today in the room on this. When that prayer, when it becomes your prayer and you mean it, that saves many people from hell. Powerful. But God had to expose in his heart first before he could ever pray that with a broken heart. A right heart. He missed it a mile off. He should have been executed under the law, but was pardoned his sin. And yet God says through all of that, he has a heart after me or like me. And what is that heart? That heart acknowledges, doesn't try to cover it up or excuse. That's the heart he looks for. We're so good at excusing and finding something to blame and so on. No. We stand naked before God. We're going to thank the Lord when we are caught away, when we're with God in glory. We're going to praise and thank him for the word that he has given to us over the years. Because this word that we receive, if you did but know it, it's preserving you from yourself, which is your worst enemy. The enemy's pretty bad, but I'll tell you, ourselves is equally as bad, because we so deceive ourselves. And God won't let us do that. And so you see, these godly affections, these desires have to be worked in us if you want this purity of heart and motive. Because you see, motive means that which is active. We have to act our faith. We have to walk in this world. We have to embrace all sorts of situations. And in all of that, God wants us to have a right heart and motive that is clean and acceptable in his sight. And love, the love of God, and your love for him always reveals this purity of heart and motive. King David revealed he had a right motive when he repented of his sin. I only have done this unto you. That was purity of motive. He wasn't blaming anything or anyone else. He wasn't blaming the fact that he was there at the wrong time, in the wrong place, and there he fell victim to temptation and so on, like we've all done. Not at all. I have done this unto you and you alone. That is purity of motive. And we have got to stop using excuses and face it as men and women in Christ, in maturity, that whatever he's honing into, dealing with, it's me and God alone, and I cannot use anything else. We're so good at finding an alternative, a substitute, and those days are gone if you want a pure heart before God. And finally, let's read as it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. 1 Peter 1, 22-25, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. That is the motive. That's what he's doing. Because as Christ loves his body, and we should love his body, therefore we love one another with a pure, fervent heart. Having been born again, not of corrupt seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flowers falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And thank God it does. This word is our deliverance. Praise God.
Let him in constancy follow.